WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Russian President Vladimir Putin addressing the armed uprising with the Wagner Group for the first time today.
Putin accusing the mutineers of betrayal, claiming an armed uprising would have been suppressed anyway, even though they actually got within 120 miles of Moscow. Putin didn't mention either Wagner, the private military company whose mercenaries marched against Russia's military leaders, or its chief, Yevgeny Prigozhin.
ABC's Ian Pannell in Ukraine. Donald Trump's re-election campaign says the audio tape to be used as evidence in his classified documents trial proves his innocence because he was speaking rhetorically when he talked about having highly sensitive material in his possession. Get ready for a big Supreme Court week. Before taking off for summer recess, the justices are expected to hand down rulings on affirmative action, student loan forgiveness, and discrimination against LGBTQ people. This is ABC News. For the first time in decades, the CDC now says it has cases of malaria where the patients were infected inside the U.S.
Malaria was declared eradicated in the United States 7 decades ago, and while the U.S. does see about 2,000 cases annually, those involve people who have traveled abroad and carried it into the country. But now 4 people in Sarasota County, Florida, and 1 in Cameron County, Texas, have come down with local malaria infections. That is, they got it from mosquitoes in their own areas. All 5 have recovered, but health officials in those areas are telling people to use bug spray, especially at dusk, and to pour out standing water where mosquitoes can breed. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
And they may have been making pizza in Pompeii, or at least something a lot like pizza. Archaeologists examining an ancient fresco say they found an image of what looks like a pizza on the wall of a home with a bakery attached. But experts say it wouldn't be exactly like the pizza of today. Justin Finch, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Wisconsin DNR has issued an air quality advisory through noon on Thursday due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The DNR said the heaviest smoke arrives today across Wisconsin. When the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. One person is dead and 3 people are hurt after a crash in northern Grant County Sunday evening. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said a 73-year-old woman was killed and 3 others, including 2 children, were hurt after their vehicle was hit by a pickup truck that had crossed the center line on Highway 18 near Patch Grove. 57-year-old Benjamin Steger was taken into custody on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol and marijuana and is being recommended for multiple charges, including homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. And several sheep were killed when a semi-truck overturned yesterday evening in Eau Claire. According to the Eau Claire Police Department, the truck crashed and rolled over on Highway 53 near Claremont Avenue. Over 100 sheep escaped from the trailer, but were all eventually caught. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big brass bed. Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big brass bed. Whatever colors you have in your mind, I show them to you, and you see them shine. Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big brass bed. Stay, lady, stay, stay with your man a while. Till the break of day, let me see you make 'em smile. His clothes are dirty, but his hands are clean, and you're the best thing that he's ever seen. Stay, lady, stay, stay with your man a while. You can have your cake and eat it too. Why wait any longer for the one you love when he's standing in front of you? Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big brass bed. Stay, lady, stay, stay while the night is still ahead.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, the 27th day of June, second hour. And I want to say hello to all of our listeners in the Wausau area. They are joining us for the entire week. And they usually hear Chad Holmes at this time on WXCO, but today they're hearing the Stu Daniels Show, and hope you're enjoying it. And by the way, if you want to join us on the phone and discuss anything we've talked about already or anything we'll talk about during this hour, feel free. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And Wanted to mention that in Wausau right now, it's 60 degrees, going up to a high around 82 today. In La Crosse right now, it's 66 degrees, going up to a high around 44. And as we discussed before the break, the smoke and haze from the Canadian wildfires seems to be covering our entire state, although intermittently at times. And I guess there's a possibility that some places will be under that smoke and haze all day, while other places may not see as much. Just depends on where you're at and how the winds are blowing. Seems like in most areas around the state, there is a breeze, but not a real heavy breeze, I guess between like 5 and 10 miles per hour in most places. So the big news in Wisconsin this week, obviously, is the passage of the budget. Governor Evers is expected to get the budget as put together by the Republican-led legislature this week. So I thought we'd take a look at what's in the budget. This is from the Wisconsin State Journal, and the headline is, here's what is in Wisconsin's $99 billion budget slated for passage this week. This was just posted this morning. It says, as the Republican-controlled legislature prepares to pass Wisconsin's two-year budget this week, it remains an open question whether Democratic Governor Tony Evers will sign the document into law. The governor said he would veto a budget that cuts the University of Wisconsin system's diversity programs, and his spokesperson was sharply critical of Republicans' income tax cut proposal that covers all income levels, but especially benefits the highest earners. But the current $99 billion budget proposal crafted in the Republican-controlled Finance Committee also includes provisions that Evers proposed, such as significantly boosting pay for public defenders, prosecutors, and prison guards. Evers has the power to strike individual items from the budget without vetoing the entire document. If Evers does veto the document, the legislature wouldn't pass a new budget until around October, and Evers would have to explain to voters why new money wasn't being spent, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, previously said. If the governor vetoes the budget in its entirety, it would be up to the legislature to send the governor another budget for him to sign. Republicans are just short of a supermajority in the assembly, meaning the legislature cannot override Evers' vetoes. If the governor doesn't sign a budget by July 1st, the state would continue operating using spending levels set in the previous two-year budget. The state Senate will be in session tomorrow to vote on the budget, according to the Office of Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu. A vote in the assembly is expected on Thursday or Friday. And here's a look at what's in the budget and what is out. So what's in the budget? Perhaps the most significant provision in Wisconsin's 2023 through 2025 budget is a $3.5 billion income tax cut that collapses the state's four income brackets into three. The plan provides tax cuts across the board, but benefits the wealthiest taxpayers significantly more than others. Under the proposal, those making between $40,000 and $50,000 a year would save an average of $88 per year. Those making between $100,000 and $125,000 would save an average of $678 per year. And those making over $1 million would save an average of $30,286 per year. Currently, the state has an income tax rate of 3.54% for individuals earning less than $13,810 per year, or married filers earning less than about $18,400. And under the Republicans' plan, that rate would go down to 3.5%. That's right. It was 3.54% now. They want to make it go down to 3.5%, which would be a savings of 0.04%, 0.04%, which would amount to virtually nothing. The 4.6 5% rate for individuals earning up to $27,630, and joint filers earning $36,840 would go down to 4.4%. The 5.3% rate for individuals earning up to $304,000, married filers earning up to $405,000, would also go down to 4.4%. Here's a quote from Evers spokesperson. It says the GOP is doubling down on tax breaks for wealthy millionaires and billionaires instead of prioritizing relief for working families. That's from Britt Cutterback, the spokesperson for Governor Evers, who tweeted out that response. Another contentious spending provision is Republicans' plan to cut the University of Wisconsin System's budget by $32 million in an attempt to force the school officials to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and programming. The plan would require the UW system to eliminate 188 positions related to those offices and programs. Republicans' plan proposes to redirect $32 million in DEI money toward UW system initiatives to develop the state's workforce. But that money could only be made available if the system requests it and the budget committee signs off on it. The budget also proposes pay raises for state employees with extra boosts for prosecutors, public defenders, and prison guards. Under the plan, state employees would receive a 4% pay bump on July 1st and another 2% raise in 2024. Also, Department of Corrections guards' starting hourly wage would increase from $20.29 an hour to $33 an hour. Assistant district attorneys and public defenders would receive a $36 starting hourly wage under the current budget, a dollar more than what Evers proposed. Their current minimum hourly wage for those positions is $27.24. Which advocates said heightened the labor shortage for state-funded attorneys. So that makes sense, right? Boosting it up to $36 an hour. Also, concerning education, K-12, the Joint Finance Committee approved increasing K-12 education spending by $1 billion. That amount is $1.6 billion short of what the governor was asking for. The boost came after Evers forged a deal with legislative leaders on a bill to increase state aid to local communities. The agreement includes spending $115 million to increase funding to the state's private school voucher programs. The committee also approved $1.5 billion in new funding for the Department of Transportation. The transportation budget motion, which passed along party lines, includes funding mass transit through a different revenue stream, a change that Democrats could lead to future program cuts. So we'll get to a little bit more of what's in the budget and what's out of the budget right after a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Boom, 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 boom. I feel so good, come payday. I think of all the things I'm gonna buy when I pick up my pay, don't you know? But then they hand me that little brown envelope. I peep inside, Lord, I lose all hope. 'Cause from those total wages earned down to that net amount that's due, I feel a painful sense of loss between the two.
Federal tax.
There goes that bracelet for her arm.
County tax.
There goes that new fence for my farm.
State income tax. There goes that.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 84. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows around 62. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High of 80. Low 80s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered storms Thursday. Chance for scattered showers Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 68.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Heaven, I'm in heaven. And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven. And the cares that hung around me through the week seems to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we out together, dancing cheek to cheek.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'd love
Louis Armstrong on a Tuesday morning. You can't go wrong with Louis, that's for sure. 22 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We're talking about the big Wisconsin state budget. What's in and what's out, according to the story in the Wisconsin State Journal. And we were talking about things that are in the budget. And I was at this portion in the story here that says an additional $6 million would assist former prisoners and people in the criminal justice system to re-enter society and the workforce. That sounds like a good investment, right? And the committee also set aside $125 million in the state's two-year spending plan to address forever chemical contaminants in Wisconsin's groundwater and drinking water, while the proposal calls for almost $20 million more in PFAS-related spending than what was proposed in Evers' budget. Democratic lawmakers criticized the measure for creating a fund with no current plans on how exactly those dollars would be spent. So here's what's out of the budget. Republicans on the Legislative Budget Committee rejected Governor Evers' proposal to spend $340 million to maintain a child care assistance program that will run out of federal funding next year. Additionally, the committee rejected Evers' request to spend nearly $350 million to fund a new engineering building on UW-Madison's campus, a top priority for the school. A couple of months ago, the Budget Committee also rejected proposals to create a paid family leave program, legalize recreational marijuana, and increase funding for mental health providers in schools. It also rejected spending $270 million to add more mental health workers to schools. Among the 545 provisions Republicans stripped from the budget in one motion are the following: $120 million to provide free meals in Wisconsin schools, $52 million to support K-12 students with limited English knowledge, limiting the expansion of private school voucher programs, and they also stripped out $24.5 million to cover tuition costs not otherwise covered by scholarships or grants for low-income students in the UW system. Yeah, why help some unfortunate kids who could use some help to get to college? So those are some of the things in the budget and some of the things out of the budget. And 25 minutes after 9 o'clock outside today, it looks like Eau Claire right now is at 63 degrees, going up to a high around 84. Hayward has 64 degrees right now, looking for a high around 82. And as we've been discussing this morning, a lot of haze and smoke around the state coming down from the wildfires up in Canada. And while we're speaking of the environment, let me just get to a little bit of the story about the Menominee River site getting protection of the National Historic Register designation. The National Park Service last week finally listed an area around the Menominee River, the border between Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula, on the National Register of Historic Places after years of efforts by the Menominee Nation. The historic site along the river in Marinette County, Wisconsin, and Menominee County in Michigan is considered the place of origin for the Menominee people. It's known as the 60 Islands area, or Dog's Belly, which in Menominee may be pronounced Ana M. Omat. Trying my best on that, but that's probably pretty close, I would guess. And it's about 16 miles east of Stevenson, Michigan, where archaeologists have uncovered settlement remains dating back to about 10,000 years ago. This area, 60 Islands area, or the Dog's Belly, or Ana M. Omat, also is an ancient Menominee burial ground and the destination of many Menominee people's pilgrimages today. And by the way, if you are listening right now and have any more information on this and you want to enlighten me a little bit, maybe as to the pronunciation in Menominee, feel free to call in. 715-388-7155 is the number. The story also says that the historic site designation means an extra layer of protection from resource extraction and development. Quote here says, "Our ancestors can now rest better in their places of burial," said Menominee Chairwoman Gina Kakak in a statement. "Our original spiritual and ceremonial grounds are recognized, and our children can continue to learn and find their heritage in our places of origin," end quote. The site contains documented burial mounds, ancient raised agricultural fields, hammered metal artifacts, unmarked graves, ancient medicine lodges, and dance rings associated with the Menominee Dream Dance, according to archaeologist David Overstreet, who works for the tribe. Sounds like a good investment, putting that place on the National Register of Historic Places. 9:28 right now, going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, we jumped all night on your trampoline. When you kissed the sky, it made your sister scream. You ate our chips and you drank our coke. And then you showed me Mars through your telescope. Oh, grace, save your money for the children. Oh, grace, save your money for the children.
This
summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Russian President Vladimir Putin addressing the armed uprising with the Wagner Group for the first time today.
Putin accusing the mutineers of betrayal, claiming an armed uprising would have been suppressed anyway, even though they actually got within 120 miles of Moscow. Putin didn't mention either Wagner, the private military company whose mercenaries marched against Russia's military leaders, or its chief, Yevgeny Prigozhin.
ABC's Ian Pannell in Ukraine. Donald Trump's re-election campaign says the audio tape to be used as evidence in his classified documents trial proves his innocence because he was speaking rhetorically when he talked about having highly sensitive material in his possession. Get ready for a big Supreme Court week. Before taking off for summer recess, the justices are expected to hand down rulings on affirmative action, student loan forgiveness, and discrimination against LGBTQ people. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The Wisconsin DNR has issued an air quality advisory through noon on Thursday due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The DNR said the heaviest smoke arrives today across Wisconsin. When air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. One person is dead and three people are hurt after a crash in northern Grant County Sunday evening. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said a 73-year-old woman was killed and three others, including two children, were hurt after their vehicle was hit by a pickup truck that had crossed the center line on Highway 18 near Patch Grove. 57-year-old Benjamin Seeger was taken into custody on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol and marijuana and is being recommended for multiple charges, including homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. And the La Crosse County Sheriff's Office said a body that was found in the Mississippi River on June 20th was in the water for about 5 years, according to a forensic anthropologist. The Sheriff's Office said the person may have been hunting before going missing. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989.
She's a witch of trouble in electric blue.
Ain't Blue. That's for sure. 934, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. If you want to join us on the phone, it's 715-388-7155. Discussing several topics today. The big state budget that's going to go to the governor later this week. Things that are in it, things that are out of it. Also discussing the air quality in Wisconsin. Pretty bad right now from the wildfires up in Canada. And I got an update on this story here from the Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee's air quality is among the worst in the world. And in fact, Wisconsin's is among the worst in the world right now. Here's where it ranks. It says the quality of Wisconsin's air was among the worst in the world again today, Tuesday, worse even than it was yesterday, as smoke from Canadian fires continues to sit over the entire state. Right now, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reporting a 188 AQI, or air quality index level, in Milwaukee, while IQAir.com has it at 195. That's higher than at any point on Monday, and it means that Milwaukee has the fourth worst air quality in the world right now, just behind other Midwest cities. And this comes after the DNR issued an air quality alert through Thursday, signaling populations will likely need to take precautions over a prolonged stretch as wildfire smoke from Canada continues to wreak havoc this spring and summer. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's AQI index assigns a number on the 0 to 500 scale in six colored categories that are based on ozone and the pollutant concentrations. The higher the number, the worse the air quality gets. A large portion of Wisconsin, including Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay, has an AQI, an air quality index, in the 151 to 200 range, or in the red category. And in this category, sensitive groups should especially be aware and avoid prolonged or heavy outdoor exertion. And everyone else should reduce those activities when it's in this range. The red AQI is hovering over Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and western Michigan. No other part of the country has had as bad air quality as this region on Monday. And what should you do when the air quality is this bad? People with heart or lung disease, older adults, children, and teens should take any of these steps to reduce exposure, according to airnow.gov. Avoid strenuous outdoor activities. Keep outdoor activities short. Consider moving physical activities indoors or rescheduling them. And everyone else should take any of these steps to reduce exposure. Choose less strenuous activities like walking instead of running so you don't breathe as hard. That's the whole idea. You don't want to breathe in the particulates in the air. Also, shorten the amount of time you're active outdoors and be active outdoors when the air quality is better. So there's a few places you can go to check out what your air quality is near you. You can just enter your zip code or your city. And one place to go is at igair.com. And that's in addition to airnow.gov. And I think there might be one more that I don't see offhand right now. You can always go to the Environmental Protection Agency, too. I do believe they might have an index. And the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has an air quality index measurement as well. So find out what the air is like in your area. And if you are in one of those categories, older adults, teens and children, or people with heart or lung issues, then you don't want to be outdoors for very long if your air quality is bad. And everybody, in fact, right now should be limiting your exposure because that stuff is not good to breathe in. And the next thing I wanted to get to was this response by the former president to the new leaked audio about the secret documents that he kept. This was published this morning, overnight, and it's Trump's response to that audio that was made available yesterday by CNN, the leaked audio of Donald Trump
really incriminating himself and just putting the final nail in the coffin of what could be a obviously guilty person, keeping these documents and just kind of laughing about it. Let's see. Do we have that audio, by the way, Aaron? Let's go ahead and play that for the people before we discuss what Trump's response was. Thank you.
These are bad, sick people.
That was your coup, you know, against you.
Well, it started right at the
beginning. Like when Millie's talking about, oh, you were going to try to do a coup. No, they were trying to do that before you even were sworn in.
That's right.
Trying to overthrow your election.
Well, with Millie, let me see that. I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran. Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look. This was him. They presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this. This was him. This was the Defense Department and him.
Wow.
We looked at some. This was him. This wasn't done by me. This was him. Yeah. All sorts of stuff. It's pages long. Look. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Except it is like highly confidential, secret. This is secret information. But look at this. You attack, and
Hillary would print that out all the time, you know.
She'd send it to Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, yeah.
The pervert. By the way, isn't that incredible,
though? Yeah.
I was just saying, because we were talking about it. And, you know, he said, he wanted to attack Iran and what?
He said the papers.
This was done by the military, given to me. I think we can probably, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to figure out
See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, you know, but this is
classified. Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, it's so, Aaron and I have, and you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
No, I believe
it's incredible, right?
No,
hey, bring some Cokes in, please.
He says, bring some Cokes in, please. Boys, bring some Cokes in, please. Oh, man. It's hard to believe. Donald Trump responded, by the way, to that audio last night about the secret documents that he kept after that was leaked and heard by millions on several different media last night. And it says here, this is from the New York Times, just updated. It says, Donald Trump on Monday night responded to newly obtained audio of the former president discussing his retention of secret documents, acknowledging their classified status, and joking about how it was too late to declassify them. The tape, first obtained by CNN, was allegedly made at Trump's golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey in 2021. Its existence and part of its transcript were reported earlier this month by CNN. In the two-minute tape that we just heard, Trump can be heard shuffling records and describing his big pile of paper to the people in the room. Quote, isn't it amazing? They presented me this. This is off the record, Trump says. Apparently in reference to a document concerning General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Two other people make noises of astonishment at what they're being shown, as Trump goes on to call the records highly confidential and full of secret information. A staffer in the room turns the conversation to Hillary Clinton, mocking her for printing out her private emails. Trump responds, no, she'd send it to Anthony Weiner. Posting to Truth Social after the release of the audio, Trump took aim at prosecutor Jack Smith and claimed without explaining that the audio is actually an exoneration of his alleged crimes. Quote, the deranged special prosecutor Jack Smith, working in conjunction with the DOJ and the FBI, illegally leaked and spun a tape and transcript of me, which is actually an exoneration rather than what they would have you believe, Trump wrote. So that's the response, evidently, from the former president to what was leaked last night by CNN, which is
obviously just an admission of him having the documents. And it's almost unbelievable how he just continues to incriminate himself in different ways. Hey, before we go to the next break, I want to get back to the story that we discussed quite a bit last week on the Stu Daniels Show about why this recent ruling on the pipeline is so important. Enbridge's Line 5. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and just posted a couple hours ago. And to give you a little background on the story, a U.S. federal judge on June 16th ordered Enbridge, a Canadian oil company, to remove its Line 5 pipeline from the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa's lands within 3 years, a decision the tribe had been seeking since 2019. If the company doesn't make the deadline, it will face a shutdown of the pipeline. The legal battle is not over. The oil company has vowed to appeal. So here's a rundown of what you should know about Line 5, where it operates, what legal battles are in play, and what both sides are saying. Enbridge, first of all, is North America's largest pipeline company, transporting about 125 million gallons of crude oil and liquids every day. The Calgary-based company operates more than 17,800 miles of oil pipelines across North America. Just over 52% of those pipelines operate in the United States, and the remainder operate in Canada. This Line 5 pipeline crosses 645 miles, starting at Enbridge's Superior Terminal. It travels through northern Wisconsin's Douglas, Bayfield, Ashland, and Iron counties, crosses Michigan's Upper Peninsula, goes under the Straits of Mackinac, and heads down Michigan's Lower Peninsula to refineries in Sarnia, Ontario. The oil company earns up to $2 million per day from the pipeline, and it supplies up to 55% of Michigan's propane needs. Line 5 also brings oil to refineries in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Ontario, and Quebec. Many argue that Line 5 is one of the greatest threats to the Great Lakes, which contain 20% of the world's fresh water and provide drinking water for more than 40 million people. The pipeline has had 35 spills over the course of its 70-year lifetime, releasing more than 1 million gallons of oil. Tribes and activists contend damage to the environment from these spills is infringing on treaty rights. For years, Enbridge has been locked in legal battles with the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and with the state of Michigan. We'll get to more of this story in just a second. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk. Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 84. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, chance for scattered storms, lows around 62. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, high of 80. Low 80s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered storms Thursday. Chance for scattered showers Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 68.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Lupi came here from Mexico about 3 or 4 years ago. And the journey. She got a job at a local factory. Sent money back home to her family. She said, this is where I belong. This is my
home. All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. This is the final segment. Hope you're having a good day so far. Just before the break, we were discussing the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline and why it's so important that it be moved off of tribal lands. And many say it should be shut down because it's one of the greatest threats to the Great Lakes that we have. Imagine if something disastrous happened to that pipeline, you know, and it polluted the Great Lakes. What would we do? It's hard to imagine that they could just clean it up. You know, there's 40 million people that get their drinking water supplied by the Great Lakes, and the Great Lakes make up 20% of the world's fresh water. So it is super important, and not just for these tribes who are, or this tribe who's asking that it be removed from their land, but it's important to everyone, especially people who live in the Midwest. I was discussing this article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about Line 5 opponents now urging the Biden administration to step in, saying that in order to fulfill his climate change and environmental justice promises, the pipeline has to be shut down. Even the United Nations has weighed in. In May, an advisory body on indigenous issues recommend that the United States and Canada shut the pipeline down. So why did the Bad River Band file a lawsuit against Enbridge? Well, they first filed a lawsuit against Enbridge in 2019, asking the company to remove the pipeline from its land. Line 5 crosses 12 miles of the reservation, even though the easement expired a decade ago after the tribe refused to renew it. Last September, U.S. District Judge William M. Conley ruled that Enbridge was trespassing on the tribe's land, but did not take the next step of shutting the pipeline down. And then in May, the band submitted an emergency filing arguing that springtime flooding and erosion put the pipeline at risk for exposure and a breach. After a hearing on that filing, Judge Conley held off again on shutting down the pipeline, saying the tribe was making an extraordinary request when it wasn't allowing Enbridge to take steps to stop erosion along the river. The tribe's position is that it's under no obligation to improve conditions and help the company operate a pipeline it doesn't want on its land. Then on June 16th, last week, Conley ordered the oil company to remove the pipeline from the Bad River Band's land within 3 years or face a complete shutdown of the pipeline. According to the decision, the company must speed up its proposed reroute, a new 41-mile section that will go around the tribe's reservation further inland in Ashland County and Iron County. Enbridge, the company, is currently in the process of acquiring permits for the reroute. Federal judge also ruled that Enbridge should pay the tribe more than $5.1 million for trespassing on the land, along with a fee moving forward. So what legal battles are happening in Michigan? In November of 2020, Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Attorney General Dana Nessel, both Democrats, revoked the easement for Enbridge and ordered a shutdown. Governor Whitmer also sued Enbridge to enforce the action, but the case was later dropped. Nessel also filed a lawsuit arguing that the company violated the public trust doctrine meant to protect Michigan's natural resources. That legal battle is still in play. Last month, Nessel filed an amicus brief supporting the Bad River Band. The Straits of Mackinac, the 4.5-mile stretch of waterway that separates Lakes Michigan and Huron, has been the crux of the legal fight in Michigan. The location and strong currents in the straits make it the worst spot in the Great Lakes for an oil spill. To date, there have been two incidents where anchor strikes have struck and damaged pipeline infrastructure. Neither caused a spill, fortunately. Enbridge has proposed a replacement tunnel 100 feet below the lake bed, which the company says will nearly eliminate the chance of a pipeline incident. The permitting process was recently extended for the project. Construction of the tunnel, if it happens at all, has been pushed back and will now begin in 2026, according to the company's website. Enbridge also operates the Line 3 pipeline that runs just under 1,100 miles from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, through North Dakota and northern Minnesota, stopping in Superior. Before Enbridge replaced more than 360 miles of that aging pipeline, it endured multiple spills. The replacement pipeline, which faced strong resistance from Ojibwe tribes and environmental groups, has been running since October of 2021. The construction and installation of the new pipeline was not without challenges in response to a series of aquifer breaches and water quality violations. Enbridge agreed to pay $11 million in penalties to Minnesota and the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. The company also faced a criminal misdemeanor charge for using state waters without permission. So they got an $11 million fine, but they're making $2 million a day off the Line 5. And this line, I would imagine they're making even more since this line is much longer, 1,100 miles. Enbridge expressed frustration with the federal court's decision last week. It said in a release that it disagrees that the company is trespassing and must cease operations. The company said it will request a stay of the judge's decision until an appeal is heard. Chairman of the Bad River Band, Mike Wiggins, said in a release, quote, "The band's victory is not a cause for unqualified celebration. We are under no illusion that Enbridge will do the right thing. We expect them to fight this order with all of their corporate might," end quote. Beth Wallace, freshwater campaign manager at the National Wildlife Federation, doesn't believe that Enbridge will be able to complete the reroute in 3 years, as permits still must be approved. "The environmental impact statement was fraught with issues," Wallace said. So that's the latest on the story from the pipeline that crosses parts of Wisconsin, goes under the Straits of Mackinac, and if breached, if broken, it could ruin water, the water supply for 40 million people in the Midwest. Is that important stuff? I would say it is. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, folks. The Stu Daniels Show. Hope you have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m.
Apple. Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing city fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm